Hi there, welcome to FinSight, the Global Financial Institutions Industry Podcast. My name is Alessandro Celli, and I'm partner in Baker McKenzie's IP Tech and Disputes team based in Zurich. I advise Swiss and international clients on technology-related national and cross-border transactions. In this episode of FinSight, we will take a look at cloud computing in financial institutions and dive into some of the global trends we are seeing. Financial institutions are transforming their business models and operations to compete in today's digital world. A key aspect of this digital transformation is the transition from traditional mainframe IT services to cloud-based solutions. Aside from compliance challenges under local law, including over data privacy and security laws, cloud use by financial institutions often constitutes regulated outsourcing. Concern over the concentration of cloud service provision and the increasing systematic risk posed by such arrangements is leading governments and regulators to impose further regulation. Regulation will impose costs that cloud providers will inevitably seek to pass on to customers. On the flip side, it may improve financial institutions' ability to achieve more balanced outsourcing agreements that better reflect their own and regulators' requirements. My colleague joining me today from both sides of the Atlantic are Sue McLean in London and Peter George in Chicago. Sue and Peter, would you introduce yourself, please? Sue first.
Thank you, Alessandro. Great to be here today. I'm a partner in the Baker McKenzie IP data and technology team based in London. I specialize in technology deals, including cloud, outsourcing, digital transformation, and new technologies like AI and blockchain, and do a lot of work in the financial services sector.
Hi, Alessandro and Sue. Great to be part of this podcast today. I am a partner at Baker McKenzie in North America. I am in Chicago, and I regularly advise clients on digital transformation, in particular, moving from, migrating from legacy co-location systems to the cloud, including third-party hyperscaler models. And, you know, we're just seeing a tremendous amount of interest in this area, as Alessandra said. It raises, these transactions raise some pretty interesting legal issues. And I think it's fantastic that particularly for our regulated clients, that we have updated our cloud center of excellence to help provide insight to clients in terms of how to manage these migrations, particularly with respect to managing regulatory risk. So a pleasure to be here today and to kind of present and speak with you about this great resource that Baker McKenzie makes available. Thank you, Alessandro. Thanks, Sue.
Well, the timing of this FinSight podcast is apt because Baker McKenzie has recently updated and refreshed its Cloud Compliance Center, which is a free-to-access information source on law and regulation relevant to the financial sector's use of cloud technology. It covers both financial regulation, including outsourcing considerations, data protection, and data privacy, all presented in an easy-to-understand question-and-answer format. In addition to key financial centers, we have now added to the center 10 new jurisdictions, including Brazil, the United Arab Emirates, and Thailand. For those not already familiar with the center, I would flag up that each jurisdiction is assessed on the degree of regulatory burden from friendly, neutral, or challenging to cloud services, plus the tool enables you to compare rules in one or more jurisdictions. It's a good starting place for cloud questions. Peter, let's talk a little about shifting mindsets on digital technologies and cloud.
Alessandro, it's a fantastic question. And I think what we're seeing is that at an enterprise level, large enterprises and small enterprises are recognizing the benefits of cloud from both, a cybersecurity as well as a delivery perspective. The cloud offers reduced costs, improved efficiencies, improvements in existing business systems and process innovation. You know, most new products are being offered, some only in as-a-service environments. And where, you know, I think we're really seeing the financial institution sector invest is in the adoption of these new platforms and these new products. And I think one of the benefits of the Cloud Center of Excellence is that it provides our clients with an introduction into and an ability to assess their migration strategies from a regulatory compliance perspective. And I think as we continue to add more jurisdictions to the Cloud Center of Excellence, it makes the tool even more robust and effective. You know, in my experience, our clients who make these moves, make these migrations in a regulated space, it's a fairly involved process. It does take a lot of coordination internally among regulatory compliance professionals, as well as technology professionals, as well as legal professionals. And it's very exciting to be able to play a role in helping our clients navigate the issues. And I think the Cloud Center of Excellence is a super helpful tool in delivering services to clients in this space.
Thanks, Peter. Sue, please feel free to add to what Peter has said, but could you also touch on the evolving legal environment?
Yes, sure. And I think you really called it out at the beginning of the podcast. One of the really key regulatory trends we're seeing, certainly over here in Europe, is increased focus on operational resilience. And with the increased take-up of cloud and IT services, the concern over the dependence of financial services firms on the tech sector, and the potential increased risks this pose in terms of, you know, operational, technological, and cyber considerations. You may be already aware of what's commonly referred to as DORA, but the Digital Operational Resilience Act that was introduced in the EU back in January last year, and it'll take effect from January 2025. So there's been a two-year period to get ready. Given the complexity of the rules and the fact that actually some of the follow-up standards are still not with us, we're expecting the final set in July, there's an awful lot for both firms and ICT providers to do to get ready. In terms of sort of an overview, DORA introduces a set of technical requirements in four key areas. It focuses on risk management and governance, including in terms of incident response and reporting, also looks at resilience testing, and imposes new obligations around third-party risk management. So it's clearly going to have a significant impact on financial institutions. They're going to have to look again and improve and enhance their ICT risk framework. And that ultimate responsibility for that framework will rest on the firm's management. They're going to have to regularly test their operational resilience. And then for tech lawyers like ourselves, it's also going to impact, as you mentioned at the top, the contracts that we have in place between financial institutions and their providers. Now, there is some overlap here with the rules that many people may be familiar with under the EBA outsourcing guidelines, but the rules are not entirely consistent, and there are some new requirements. And because of that divergence, you can't assume that what currently is, you know, works and is compliant is automatically going to ensure compliance with DORA. So what we're seeing is both firms and tech companies really looking again at their existing contracts and their existing contract templates against the DORA requirements, doing that gap analysis and trying to figure out how they best remediate their contracts ahead of the deadline. But I think what's also a key sort of development represented by DORA is the fact that financial institutions will be directly impacted, but actually IT providers will now be potentially subject to direct financial services regulation, many of whom it will be for the first time. And so at the moment, there's sort of an indirect impact on tech providers. But under these new rules, some service providers are going to be considered critical and they will be regulated directly. Again, it's a bit challenging because we still don't know who those providers will be and the criteria are still not absolutely clear. And that's going to be hopefully become a bit clearer in the next few months. But that obviously has concern for the tech sector because it brings regulatory oversight, but also additional cost and complexity that they've not had to deal with up to now. Even if, though, you're not a critical provider, you're still going to have to do that exercise, which is look again at, you know, what's going to be mandatory and how you're going to approach contracting with FIs, given these new rules coming in. Here in the UK, you know, it used to be very simple for us. You know, we were part of the EU and we would follow DORA like everybody else. But actually, because of Brexit, we can diverge. And actually, there is a little bit of divergence in the UK when it comes to operational resilience. But the regulators here are also planning a DORA-like regime to help manage these sort of resilience and concentration risks. And so we have got a proposed new legal regime, which is very similar to the critical third-party regime under DORA, which we are referring to as the CTP regime. So again, over in the UK, the regulators are going to have the ability to designate a third-party tech provider as a CTP if it considers that a failure disruption of the services that that company provides could threaten ultimately the UK financial system. Again, we don't yet know the exact criteria and who is likely to fall into that category. But I think it's fair to expect that if an organisation is considered a critical third-party provider in the EU, then it's quite possible that they will also be a critical third-party under the UK regime, because inevitably the legislation sets a high bar and it's going to be the largest tech companies who have, you know, the biggest number and volume of clients in the financial services sector that are most likely to be designated as a CTP. So there's a lot going on in operational resilience, both in the EU and in the UK, and there is a common theme that we're seeing all across the world. But aside from that, obviously there's still a continued focus on other issues that are thrown up by cloud, including data privacy, confidentiality, cybersecurity. And I think the Cloud Center should be helpful in this regard in terms of sort of helping you understand like what the differences are between jurisdictions. You know, some jurisdictions take a very expansive view as to the application of their data privacy laws, for example, the EU GDPR. Similarly with data location, there can be friendly and challenging jurisdictions when it comes to data residency and data sovereignty. But I think when it comes to cybersecurity, that remains a key risk highlighted by the regulators and FIs, you know, across the world. And so we're just going to continue to see increased focus on cyber risk and, you know, measures that can be put in place to mitigate the risk as much as possible.
So that was very interesting. Thank you. And see, the listeners see and hear, it's really going on a lot. And Brexit did not make it simpler for the UK. We in Switzerland have a similarity, not being in the EU. And as you said, too, it is fantastic to hear how close you guys are in these developments. Now, Peter, please feel free to comment further. And I think our listeners would like to hear what's happening on cloud contracting terms from the perspective of financial institutions, particularly also in the US.
Well, thanks, Alessandro. I appreciate the opportunity to add a little additional comment onto Sue's perspective. I think that by and large, especially with respect to highly levered, you know, cloud computing platforms, it's challenging to negotiate bespoke provisions. But, you know, for large financial institutions that have significant bargaining power, it's possible. And in addition, I think the cloud service providers, especially the hyperscalers, recognize and account for the regulatory compliance obligations that financial institutions have, particularly with respect to protecting the integrity of the financial of the financial services that they deliver. And so, in our experience, while a supplier may present their template forms for accessing and leveraging their cloud service, it is quite reasonable to expect that the hyperscalers will accommodate the requirements that the financial institution has in order to meet its regulatory burdens and its commitments to its customers, and to ensure the safety and security of the banking system. And even in the cloud models that we're familiar with, in negotiating specific amendments to platform terms is something that we routinely see. I think in addition to thinking through negotiations around particular cloud terms, it's also critical to consider, especially for our multinational clients, the need to ensure that there is compliance across the footprint of the organization. And I think that's where Baker & McKenzie, and particularly the Cloud Center of Excellence, is really helpful, because you can compare regulatory requirements across jurisdictions so that you can ensure that your contracts with the hyperscalers take into consideration, even the last mile of regulation. So that's one of the things that I'm most excited about with respect to the Cloud Center of Excellence. And we've already helping clients, especially multinational financial institutions, in their digital transformations, ensure that they are complying with local regulatory requirements, and even advising them on how to best position these migrations in their communications with local regulators. It's exciting, and it's, I think, a real privilege to be able to provide that level of support and guidance to our most important clients. So I think it's a fantastic tool. Thanks.
Peter, many thanks for that. We are coming to the end of our allotted time, so I would like now to ask both of you what you think is coming for the cloud this year and in the future. Sue?
Well, I think we just can't ignore the impact of AI. I think ultimately cloud services are all going to involve AI in some form if they don't already. You know, they are being enhanced by AI. AI solutions are becoming critical to certain processes that financial services carry out, and they're going to continue to want to adopt the technologies. Obviously, we've got developments like the EUA Act and range of sort of legislative developments around the world, and the financial services regulators also really focusing on what does this mean, that this sort of continued adoption of AI mean for our industry. But if you think about the topic we were discussing earlier around operational resilience, the potentially the same risks around concentration and resilience apply to AI providers, particularly because a lot of the really large tech providers that do an awful lot of work in the financial services sector are all, a lot of them, if not all of them, are all developing and providing AI solutions or AI enhancements to their existing solutions. So I suspect there is likely overlap when it comes to the existing, proposals and legislative requirements around critical providers. So I think it will be interesting to see that as it develops. DORA, for example, was not really developed with AI in mind at the time, but given the nature of the expansive rules around DORA, not just applying to outsourcing, but to ongoing digital services. It will be interesting to see how that ultimately ends up applying to some of the new AI solutions we are seeing. So yeah, it's never quiet, I think, in the cloud space, because all these new technology developments are just making the picture a little bit more complex, a little bit more difficult for regulated institutions to navigate.
Yeah, thanks, Sue. I agree. I definitely think there's going to be continuing interest in artificial intelligence and AI, you know, as well as other technologies like blockchain and ways to use data analytics to reduce risk and increase services to customers. But frankly, Alessandro, I think there is right now a lot of investment being made by hyperscalers and by financial institutions in taking advantage of the benefits of migrating to third-party, you know, clouds, and taking advantage of the security of those clouds and the productivity that those clouds make available, as well as the cost savings. And I actually think there's just going to be a tremendous amount of investment in that aspect of digital transformation over the next 12 to 18 months. I think it's exciting. I think it means there's going to be a lot of work to do to make sure that those transformations are done appropriately and that they are done in compliance with, you know, regulatory requirements around the world. But for our clients with multinational footprints, I think it's an exciting time and a great opportunity for us to kind of collaborate with those clients and help, and really help with those digital transformations. I think that is where the bulk of our time is going to be spent over the next coming months. So I'm just really delighted that we were able to release a new version, an updated version of our Cloud Center of Excellence to help our clients navigate those exciting issues. Thanks. Really appreciate the opportunity to be on the podcast today. And if anyone has any questions or wants to learn more about the Cloud Center of Excellence, obviously I'm happy to talk with them. I know, Alessandra, that you and Sue are as well. So we're really looking forward to this new release. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. So a lot to consider, and the risks are potentially high in the event of non-compliance. Thank you so much, Peter and Sue, for sharing your thoughts. If you would like to explore the legal and regulatory position more generally, as a reminder, you can find our updated Cloud Compliance Center on our website at bakermckenzie.com. We hope that you have found this podcast useful. As always, please do reach out to your usual Baker McKenzie contact or any of today's speakers if there are any specific areas or projects you would like to talk through. We are always more than happy to help where we can. Thanks again to everyone for listening, and we hope you can join Baker McKenzie for the next episode of FinSight. Thank you.